That portion of God's word we read and consider this morning, the Holy Spirit caused St. Matthew to record for our learning in the 25th chapter of his gospel. Let us pray. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. All 10 of the girls in Jesus' parable have lamps. The term for girl is the same term for virgin. It represents outward innocence and purity. And perhaps it could be implied that any unmarried teenage girl is also a virgin. Unfortunately, in our current climate, this is not the case. In the year 2022, the average age in the United States of America of losing one's virginity is around 17 years of age. And premarital sex has been the norm for decades, in a time when chastity is written off as old-fashioned. We do well to pay attention to this parable of our Lord Jesus, because this parable is written especially for us who recognize and oppose the immoral behaviors promoted in the culture. You see, the girls in Jesus' parable are all chaste, at least outwardly. They are pure. They represent all those who are part of the outward life and fellowship of the church. It is a particular warning to all Christians who are more or less keeping themselves out of trouble. It is, of course, important, vital, for parents to warn their children against sexual immorality. No, the answer is not so-called sex education, in which they learn to be safe. We must warn them that those who defile the marriage bed will be judged by God. In the same way, we should warn them against becoming slaves to drugs, to violence, to greed, and all sorts of other terrible things. But the one thing that is so easy to lose sight of is the importance of the oil in our lamps. The oil in Jesus' parable is the Holy Spirit. We have been anointed by the Holy Spirit in our baptism, just as Jesus was anointed in the Jordan River. He gave us faith, and with this faith, the Holy Spirit also gives us hope and love. He gives us faith to believe that our sins are forgiven for Christ's sake and that we stand righteous before God. He gives us hope to look forward to the coming of our Savior. And he gives us love to serve our neighbor, to encourage our fellow Christians, to admonish those who are straying, and to carry out the duties God has given us in this life. This oil is the only thing that will shine when Jesus returns. Hypocritical lip service to God's word will be shown to be the sham that it is. Charity work, public relations, services, donations, not done by faith in Christ, will be exposed as self-serving and prideful. And this is why Jesus describes five of these virgins to be foolish. Why? Because they don't bring enough oil with them. In other words, they think little of the Holy Spirit who speaks through the word of the scriptures. They act as if it's a given that the gospel is always going to be preached, the church doors are always going to be opened, and they will always be able to be associated with the outward fellowship of Christians. But when Jesus returns at a time when they don't expect it, there is no more time to take such things for granted. The doors are shut, and those who don't have light are left in the dark. And this is terrible darkness. where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. We should not take this lightly. The wedding feast in Jesus' parable represents the kingdom of heaven. He is the true bridegroom who has claimed the church as his spotless bride. He gave his life up for her, cleansing her with his own blood, and he continues to nurture her in his gospel. We are members of God's kingdom, washed by water with the word. And so even here, we enjoy his kingdom. Here, as we gather around his gospel and sacraments, we are members of Christ's body, his holy bride, the church. Now, there are those who hear the gospel, who take the sacrament, or maybe even sing some hymns, but they foolishly pay little attention to whether they even believe any of it. As long as the gospel is being proclaimed, as long as the message of Christ, who died for the sins of all people, is ringing out among his church, those who are foolish still have the door open to them. Now, right now, is the day of salvation, Paul says. Now is the acceptable time. Seek the Lord while he may be found. God is gracious and merciful. He wants all people to be saved. But don't fool yourself. At a time when you don't expect it, the day will come when the doors will be shut. The gospel will not be won't be proclaimed anymore through the world. Only those who are safely inside will be saved, just like Noah and his family. The bridegroom comes in the middle of the night after all the virgins have fallen asleep. All of them fell asleep. Even the wise virgins fell asleep. Everyone gets tired. Everyone grows drowsy. In fact, this is why the wise virgins are called wise. It isn't because they're so good at staying awake. No, they brought enough oil precisely because they weren't good at staying awake. Those who pay attention to whether they have faith and they cling to the word, they do so because they know how easy it is to fall into sin. They recognize how dark the darkness truly is. But the other virgins, as outwardly pure and polished as they are still called fools because they underestimate how dark the darkness is. The other day, I was watching a documentary which some of you maybe have seen. It came out about 7 years ago. It's about the Seminex, right? For those of you who don't know, that was when the members of the St. Louis Seminary faculty in 1974 all walked out, most of them, except for five. One of them was on sabbatical, though. And they all walked out, and because they believed that the Bible had errors in it, right? And so this documentary that I was watching actually they gave some airtime to Pastor Otten, they actually gave him a fair shake. He was able to speak the truth, that the Bible is the truth without any errors. Now, during the 1970s, leading up to that, the Missouri Synod was having an investigation, as many of you know, of the teachers of that seminary. They would ask them very basic questions, such as, were Adam and Eve real, historical human beings? And the teachers would dance around the questions, like, well, what do you mean by historical, right? What do you mean by a human being? Blah, 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 blah. Well, the documentary talked about this, and it featured several of these teachers who had gone through these interviews. And one of the teachers, and I can't remember his name, he said that he had been asked if he believed that Adam was a human being just like us. And his response was as follows. I'll just quote him what he said. No, because when Adam fell into sin, according to the Bible, it affected the whole of subsequent humanity, When I fall into sin, it only aggravates my wife. Now, I'm sure that this man thought that he was very clever for this. After all, wife jokes are always, you know, a good way to make, you know, make your point, I guess. But I can't think of a more foolish thing to say. Talk about underestimating the darkness of sin. The sin which exists in our sinful flesh is much darker than simply making your wife upset or embarrassed. It kills faith. It draws you away from the hope of salvation. It pushes love out of your heart. It is dark, darker than we could ever know. The foolish outward members of the church are those who treat sin and unbelief like petty, insignificant things. And they imagine their faith will glow brightly as long as they can keep doing churchy things. Maybe they can burn some incense, walk in a processional, send their kids to Sunday school, participate in servant events, or whatever it is that makes them feel part of God's kingdom. But the only reason they seem to be glowing is because they are surrounded by other Christians. They are surrounded by those who are wise, who actually believe the gospel. These wise virgins' prayers rise up to God like incense because they rely on Christ as that true offering given to us before the Father. And they rely on the Holy Spirit who intercedes for them. Those who are wise walk in the light of God's word because they know that they constantly need the grace of their Savior, Jesus Christ, to protect them from sin and despair. They teach their children Bible stories. They remind them of the gift of their baptism. They send them to faithful Sunday schools because they know that their children can easily fall away if they are not fed and nurtured by the gospel of their Savior. And they offer their service because they know the love of Christ, who became a servant to save them from their sins. The wise virgins can't share their oil with the foolish virgins. It's not that they're unwilling, it's just that it's impossible. You can't believe for someone else. You can't have hope for someone else. You can't love for someone else. Of course, you should continue to bear with those who are weak, hopeful that they will rely on the word of God with you, showing love to them the whole way. Love hopes all things and believes all things and bears all things. This is what God calls Christians to do. In fact, this is the oil which fills our lamps by the Holy Spirit. It is faith, active, in love, confidently hoping in what God has promised us. Jesus' parable is, of course, a warning against neglecting what the Holy Spirit gives. Don't neglect his word. Remember that you are not righteous before God by your own powers. Your sins are forgiven, not because of who you hang out with. You always need Christ, who died for you and claims you as his own. You always need the Holy Spirit, who strengthens your faith through the gospel and nurtures you with the body and blood of Jesus. Just check to see if you have flesh and blood. Check to see if you're still in the world and that the devil is still attacking. You always need the hope of eternal life, especially when you have to suffer. And when you are tempted with anger and conflict, you always need God to pour his love into your heart. You need the oil given to you in your baptism. You need it constantly. And to know that you always need this is what it means to be wise. It is to be honest. It isn't to be in the dark, but to be in the light. And this is exactly what God has called you to. He has not appointed you to be condemned, but to receive what Christ has won for you by his death on the cross. He has made you children of the light and of the day. Walk in the light of his word, so that whether you are awake or asleep, you may live in Christ. Therefore, comfort and encourage one another with this truth, as I know you have also been doing. Amen. The peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.